first of the year in Kokomo.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, 2016. I see you had a pretty good turnout New Year's Eve. I didn't realize your downtown has a ball drop.
Yeah, well, Happy New Year. Our community's been doing this for probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 years, and the Kokomo High School Technocats put together a ball drop, and they drop it from the top of the First Farmers Bank and Trust building, so about seven stories up, and we count down the last minute into the new year, and there's usually music prior to and after to celebrate. We have a fireworks display from the top of the courthouse, and so it's a unique event for our community. It may not be Times Square, but it's the next best thing.
It looked pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Not many towns do that. Of course, you hope the weather coordinates with you as well.
We've had some very, very, very cold ball drops, and then we've had some that were a little more easier to be outside. And this year was very nice and had a very nice turnout.
So a new year means some new staff, new council members. How is that transition going?
So far, so good. We've had a couple of meetings, and Stephen Weikart, who has connections to Bloomington, his father was the chancellor at Ivy Tech in Bloomington. I think if I read correctly, he's a candidate now for a Monroe County Commissioner seat. So his son's now on the city council here, and we're excited about obviously the re-election of many of the council members, but also our new council member.
And probably the biggest news is the opening of the new YMCA very soon. Move-in week is this week.
Yeah, they're getting very close. The official ribbon cutting will be February 29th, and so we're very excited about that. It's really coming along, and it's nice at night with all the windows. When it's lit up, it really makes a difference in the streetscape, and so we like the aesthetics of the building. It's a very modern urban YMCA, and so I think it's something we can all be very proud of.
And they had a $16 million fundraising goal. I think last time we talked about it, they're about $5 million away.
Well, we just had an announcement of another couple million, so we're less than $4 million. I think it's somewhere around $3 million or so, somewhere in that ballpark from hitting their goal. So we're going to keep pushing along, but we had some large private donations to the Y, and so... We'll continue the fundraising until we're completed. But we're excited.
I bet when you have these community openings, the stadium, the YMCA, I bet that just kind of infiltrates throughout the whole city in terms of a community being excited about where they live.
I think so, and I hope so, and I think so. People, they want to see their community thrive. They want to be proud. Everyone wants to be proud of their hometown, whether they still live here or they're from a community. And yes, I think the fact that we are doing things, we're accomplishing things, we have community spaces, nice public facilities, whether it's a trail expansion or an investment in a park or a baseball stadium, YMCA. Those are sources of community pride, and it also shows that we're a can-do community. We can do things. They talk about Washington, D.C. and things, kicking the can down the road, and we actually make progress. So I think there is a sense of pride attached to that.
And speaking of progress in the midst of wintertime, how's the rollout of the city recycling program? I know you're doing that in sections across the city.
Yeah, we're fully in place now. It has been since the end of the year. Citizens are recycling. I think most people understand that there is a long-term cost savings. It's not only good for the environment, but there's a long-term cost savings. When they recycle, it extends the life of landfills. It saves the city money. Of course, it's the right thing to do. And I don't have any exact numbers. I think it's going to take a couple of months to get some numbers on what's transitioning from going into the landfill to being recycled. But we're very happy so far with the rollout. And of course, Mother Nature's been a little cooperative too. So we've had more of a mild winter this year.
What about the larger community recycling areas that, if I remember right, were there before? the curbside recycling.
Yeah, through the Howard County Recycling District, which right now there's some legislation that is being considered about eliminating that taxing unit here in the state of Indiana. But and I was on that board, but only two city representatives, four county representatives, and then one from Greentown, a smaller incorporated city here in Howard County. They took care of the recycling bins, and so we've now don't have those inside the city, but we still, if people have extra material they can drop off 24/7 at the at the current recycling facility. The private contractor, they have a designated space and designated drop-off areas up on the north end of town.
So yeah, I was thinking in terms of those who maybe you live in apartments or condos,
right.
Maybe even outside of some of those areas that still want
right.
to recycle.
They still have the bins out in some few areas out in the spread out throughout the county, outside of the city limits. And yes, for any businesses or apartment dwellers that want to drop off, they can drop it off 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, at the facility in the north end of Kokomo.
I was doing a little bit of reading before I got here, read a report from the Kokomo Herald that the city underspent by about $5 million, and that would be the 2015 budget.
Yes.
And, you know, in a time where we talk to other mayors and other cities where they're saving pennies or maybe even running a deficit, how is Kokomo to that point where they're underspending?
Well, we've done that now for consecutively now for 8 years. But you know, part of it is we do watch every project, every dime throughout every department. So it's a balancing act. But we're very happy with the way our department heads manage. We look at every position when someone may retire. Is it something we can delegate to another department or to shared responsibility, some of those things, because personnel costs are still the biggest expense for any municipality. And it's somewhere in that 70-75% range or higher maybe for most cities. And so we're always trying to keep in mind the costs of things. And we still have to do projects. We still have to invest in new playground equipment. Still have to invest in our trails. So we're very happy that we were able to roll out our recycling program. You know, we're one of the last cities, very few that don't have a trash fee, do not have a recycling fee whatsoever. That's just part of your city services. So we're able to do these things at a good cost and within budget all the time.
I think some residents would say, "Oh, there's an extra $5 million. Where does that go? Is that just rollover?"
It rolls over. We put it in our reserves, and which means that maybe that's because a lot of things we do. Specialists talk about roads. Sometimes those that may allow us to do a little extra paving in 2016. It may be sometimes those projects come in. Maybe we're installing sidewalks or doing some things throughout this year. And they'll come in, the bids will come in a little higher than we thought. So, it's always that cushion each year. We have to, there's always unexpected things. It could be a major piece of equipment breaking down or needing to be replaced a year or two earlier than expected, a trash pack or a dump truck, things like that. So we always have to be, we don't spend it just because we have it. If we can sock a little bit of way and have a little bit of a cushion, we try to do that.
And it sounds like, too, that you work with grants, too, to help fund things. Just found out that you have a new grant for the sewer plant.
We did. Just found out today. So, and that was through the state, $100,000. And it's for a centrifuge, and that's basically, it compresses the sludge so before it's hauled away to become a fertilizer product. But it basically, in essence, keeps us from hauling water. We pay to have that hauled away by the ton, so anytime we can reduce the amount of water that we're hauling, it's gonna be, there's a savings there. So our estimates show once it's fully the centrifuge system, and we're still, hopefully maybe by the end of this year we'll have it in place, but we think we'll save about $160,000 a year at our wastewater treatment plant.
I did read too, and this may be interesting to some of our listeners in Bloomington, just because of Indiana University. There is IU Kokomo here,
oh, yeah.
and they've completed some renovations. And then I just saw that there are some more that is going to be happening this year too. So yep. there's a lot of investment in infrastructure at IU Kokomo.
IU Kokomo is doing very well. It is the fastest growing of the IU satellite campuses. We have well over 4,000 students now, which that's a good sized university. And the leadership from the chancellor on down has, they work relentlessly in trying to recruit students to come and go to school here. And they also have offered new degrees and programs to continue to expand on options that people have. So they've been, last 3-5 years, they've been very aggressive, and it's paying off.
We've been, you kind of touched upon this, that a lot of talk at the State House on road funding.
Yeah.
This is the busy time of the year, of course, yeah. at the General Assembly. The newest wrinkle looking at tolls on maybe I-65 and I-70 to fund old infrastructure. I believe on Wednesday there's going to be talk about RFRA and LGBT rights, and then now there's just been talk about meth and pseudoephedrine. A lot going on. In your mind, what are the top maybe 2 or 3 things that stand out to you?
I think you've probably touched on those top 3. Obviously, road funding. We just had the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns. We just met last week at our state conference. Of course, I'm president, so I was able to talk a little bit about that. When our state government does not address certain issues, they become local problems. So road funding. They announced earlier that they wanted to put all this money towards road funding, but there was no money designated for local government, cities and counties. Now, over 80%, I've heard between 80 and 88% of the roads in the state of Indiana are local roads, but yet 100% of the money was going to go to the state roads and bridges. So we're in there being very aggressive, trying to find a long-term solution. Roads are expensive. We're doing our part here. We're trying to right-size our roads, do the lane diets, road diets, all those things. Things that will extend the pavement and keep a close eye on those dollars, but we also need a stable funding source. So roads are very important. The RFRA issue, it's still lingering. There was a report that just came out from Indianapolis from their chamber. I think it's the Visit Indy group, if I remember right. Talked about, I think they listed 12 or 14 conventions that chose not to come to the state of Indiana for that very issue. Lost, their estimation was somewhere around $60 million. That has to be fixed. And as I tell people, those are 12 or 14 that they can identify. They can't identify the ones that didn't even pick up the phone or didn't even get online to consider Indiana, that they just crossed us off before they even investigated, if we've made any improvements on our image. So that has to be addressed. There are long-term implications from not addressing that. And then, as you talked about, the heroin, the meth, the drug problems that we're facing. I think it's a statewide issue. Kokomo and Howard County, we have our share, just like everyone else. It's no one's immune from this. And anything the state can do to partner with us and the fact that they recognize it, though, I think is a step in the right direction.
And lastly, I did find out that you have a new team to add to Municipal Stadium.
We do.
Kokomo Mantis, and they begin in May.
Kokomo Mantis FC Football Club. And this is a PDL team. If you anybody Googles the PDL, the league itself, it's been around for close to 25 years. They have teams throughout the United States and Canada, where our league or our division will include Winnipeg, Des Moines, Iowa, Dayton, Ohio. This is the first team in Indiana, and so we're very excited about this. USL has continues to draft out of this league. I think this last month or two, they had a draft, and there were 28 players from this league that were drafted in either the first or second round. So it's a very it's very competitive. There's they play eight home, eight away, I think, is their schedule, and so we're very excited to add more to Kokomo's sporting culture and to our quality of life.